insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. I would like to welcome you to another of our programs. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the understanding of more of His verses. First, let's hear the verses.
وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَقَدْ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين ووصى بها إبراهيم بنيه ويعقوب يا بني إن الله اصطفى لكم الدين فلا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون.
We're discussing verse 130 in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the creed of Prophet Ibrahim. And it says, in this verse tells us that وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ. And who will renounce Abraham's creed except one who fools himself? Who will turn away from that creed except for one who fools himself? Who will dislike that? Now, the outcome of what we mentioned in the previous sessions is that, first of all, the creed that is mentioned, the core and the essence of that creed, the essence of the millah, the essence of the religion, and the essence of all religions, as will be re-emphasized and reassured in the following verses, is the concept of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He gives us and whatever He tells us to do. So that is something that one, no matter what religion they have, what religion Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, whether it's the practical laws that were revealed to Prophet Isa, or Prophet Ibrahim, or Prophet Moses, or Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Prophet Nuh, or the previous prophets, they need to submit to that and accept that and practice that. Even if during the formation of one religion, during the lifetime of a prophet, if the laws change, and submission needs to be there, and whenever that changes, we need to change what we do based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mandates us. And that also is going to be reassured. But another point is that the principles in even the practical aspect of religions is the same. You find the general principles of practice, which is, for example, the concept of having a daily worship, the concept of fasting, the concept of the penal law, and so on and so forth. We find these general principles in all religions. The outward expression of that we see is different. So those principles that were revealed to Prophet Ibrahim, no one should turn away from them. We should always be following them. But the important thing is that all of that was said to reassure this fact that everyone, and very obviously, needs to follow the religion, the creed, the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated upon those people through their prophet. Okay, the verse is not saying that we should be following the teachings of Prophet Ibrahim, that the outward expression of that has changed or things have been added to it in the religion of Islam, which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, that's the first portion of the verse. The last portion of the verse tells us about why it is such that only a fool, in my words, which is paraphrasing what the verse says, only a fool would turn away and dislike the creed and the religion of Prophet Ibrahim. Why is that? Because Prophet Ibrahim is وَلَقَدْ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. We certainly chose him in the present world, and in the hereafter, he will indeed be among the righteous. Imagine what being a chosen one by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the supreme and superior being in this universe, the only actual independent being that every single being in this universe depends on. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses an individual and considers him one of the chosen ones, whatever their way of life was, which caused them to be one of the chosen ones, if anyone chooses to dislike that creed, they must be fooling themselves and they must be a fool. Now, this verse, the second part of this verse, that وَلَقَدْ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, is completed with the verse, the following verse, which is 131. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this verse says that he is a chosen one. He's one of the chosen ones, and he's going to be one of the righteous ones in the hereafter. Now, there's a lot of detailed points about this, and what does it mean that he's going to be one of the righteous ones, based on the verses of the Holy Quran. There's a lot of details that, you know, we don't want to really get into those. I do advise those who are interested to read up on it in some of the more detailed tafsir, like, for example, the tafsir of Mizan, which is written by Allama Tabatabai, rahmatullah alayh. And that just shows, you know, how rich this religion is. The more you dig, the deeper you dig, the more valuable material you will find. I don't want to get into that. There's too much to explain there. But the very easy to understand explanation is what the apparent meaning is, that he will be one of the righteous ones in the hereafter. Now, what the righteous ones mean exactly, that's something for those who like to know more, they can refer to those tafasir. The important thing is, how did he become one of the chosen ones, and how is he going to become one of the righteous ones on the Day of Judgment? The verse 131 tells us that, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين. When his Lord said to him, submit, he said, I submit to the Lord of all the worlds. Now, the meaning of this verse seems to be something that was said a number of times, and it's reassuring this the points that were mentioned in the previous verses about submission and all. But I want to point to this fact that what this verse tells us about being one of the chosen ones, and what the chosen one, being one of the chosen ones, means, which is about that spiritual aspect, is something that I need to re-emphasize. If you remember, in the previous sessions, we talked about this aspect, that in verse 128, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quoted Ibrahim saying, after finishing the building of his house, the Baytullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house, as it's termed in the Holy Quran, it's referred to in our scripture, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quoted Prophet Ibrahim, requesting him to make him and his son one of the Muslimin, one of the submitters. We explained there that that is a very, very high level of spirituality that Prophet Ibrahim is asking for himself and Prophet Ismail. It's not just the normal submission that we talk about listening, you know, doing the wajibat and staying away from the muharramat. We said that. Then we posed this question, that about how do we reach that? We explained there that it is very obvious in my eyes, based on the Holy Quran, it's very obvious through these the ahadith that we have, that the only way to get there is submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which translates to practicing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated upon us. Okay, now this verse very clearly indicates that point. Okay, what it says is in verse 130, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He became one of the chosen ones. Now, very briefly, that becoming one of the chosen ones and being one of the righteous in the hereafter, that we said there's points regarding that, there's details regarding that, that it's too complicated to discuss. Okay, this is talking about that aspect of spirituality. This is a spiritual level that they've reached that a human being cannot reach by practicing plainly. Okay, it's not like the other levels of spirituality that once when you do something, the effect of your action is that you're going to be raised to a higher level. This level is something that after you've reached a certain level, then you need an extra boost, I would like to call it in my words, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give. That's the level that is mentioned there, okay, which is showing, you know, this how high this level of spirituality can get. Now, in verse 131, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to discuss how Prophet Ibrahim has reached that, okay, is through submission. And this submission, based on, again, verse 130, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the millah, the creed that was mandated upon Prophet Ibrahim, is talking about that religion. This very clearly assures us that if we want to reach spirituality, don't think that there's any other way but the prayer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated. Don't think that spirituality could be reached through any path other than the fast that is mandated upon you, or other than the khums, other than the zakat, other than the hajj, and all the other practical laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated you. The reason why those have been put on your shoulders is to perform them and submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by practicing that. And once you practice that, which includes all the aspects of the human life, the personal aspect, the private life, the social life, starting with the family, going on to society and to politics, all of that has got to be practiced. And once that is practiced, then one can be hopeful of reaching this level where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to consider them one of the chosen ones. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to become one of those, inshallah, to make us one of the righteous in the hereafter. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanaka ya man la sharika lahu subhanaka ya man la sharika lahu subhanaka ya man la sharika lahu سبحانك يا من لا شريك له سبحانك يا من لا شريك له سبحانك يا من لا شريك له سبحانك